This meeting is now being recorded.
Thank you. This is Vidoria speaking. We have enough people to meet quorum. I'm hoping that Jordan and Patrick and others do join us, but want to get started. So today's agenda, basically, other than the normal agenda of the intro with agenda review, attendance, and SOI check, have one substantive issue on for this week, which is a first subgroup reading of the report of something I didn't update. On document updates, the report is now up to draft 6. I should have corrected that when I sent the latest copy of the agenda, but the point remains the same. And then the response to the staff questions, which is still pending. There were two action items going into this meeting. One was for me to produce a report for the first reading. I believe I have, but I'll check on that when we get to that substantive item. And then for everyone else to review it, to make comments, edit, and suggest text. Not sure to what degree that has happened, but I hope that people have read it. But it's short enough that people can actually read it in the meeting if they have to. The schedule update, you'll notice that dates were crossed out and new dates appeared. And then our meeting update and any other business. Does anybody have any other business that should be added to any other business at this point? No? Okay, I'll ask again when we get there. Is the agenda okay? Any objections to it? No objections. We'll go with it. Okay. The attendance, as usual, will be taken via the participants list of Adobe Connect, and this is the Thursday, 7 June at 13 UTC meeting 22, I believe. Okay. Anybody just calling in? See nobody listed as just a call-in. If you do, if you're there and heard me at some point, please let us know that you're here. Next thing is the statement of interest check. Does anybody have an update they wish to tell the group about at this point? Okay. Just remind everybody that should your circumstances change, especially things that might be relevant to this group, please make a change to your SOI and let us know. Okay, so moving on to the substantive issue of the week, which is the first reading of the report. Brenda, can you bring up, or Bernie, I'm not sure who's driving, can you bring up the draft 6? Is this draft 6? I cannot see it well enough. Yes, it does look like draft.
Very good.
Oh, it is version 6. Oh, I didn't notice the error of the bookmark not defined. Ah, I'll have to fix that one. So, first of all, I want to check, does anybody object to this being done as a first reading today? Okay, we have talked through much of this document. Some parts have remained fairly steady for a while. We had a sort of first reading last week with the recommendations, but one part of the document was still empty at that point, which was a discussion of the recommendations. That part is in now, and there has been some rework on the recommendations based on last week's call. Okay, so I'll be looking on. So now, moving down, going to go back through it section by section. Some sections, even though they haven't changed, I've not asked questions on before. Not going to read things out loud, but does anybody have any comments on the introduction? Okay. I'll give it a couple pauses just to make sure that anybody that's just reading it for the first time or the first time in a while has a chance to comment. Okay. Moving on then. We'll take first the introduction as written. There will be a second reading, and everyone will be encouraged to go in, review the doc, you know, make any suggested changes, etc., between now and the next reading. Okay, moving on to roles and responsibilities. We spent a lot of time getting to this point. We had many, many drafts in several different forms of draft, and came down to this one quite a while ago and want to make sure that it's still fine. So in the roles and responsibilities, there are basically 9 points. It relies on an authoritative definition listed in 9 of ICANN Delegation of Authority Guidelines. It also speaks of various points. Again, I'm not going to read the points point by point, but this one has not changed in quite a while, maybe a grammatical change or two. Does anybody have any issues on the roles and responsibilities section of the document? No? Okay. I'll move on, remembering this is only the first reading. There'll be another one in a week, and please check it online. If there are any edits, if you see a typo still in there, please let us know. Okay, moving to the issues. We went through quite a process to get the issues. This is one of the reasons we went back and got a change in our charter, as it were, to work through specific issues, and identified the issues and then came up with these abstractions. Yes, George.
Thanks, Aubrey. I'm very pleased that you have both 1A and 1B in the issues. The only question I had was, why is it not parallel? 1A says no forum and 1B says no clear forum. Seems to me issue.
Yes, they were written at different times. Which would you prefer, no clear forum or no forum?
I don't care. It's up to you. But I think they should be parallel.
Okay, thank you very much for that comment. Does anybody care between the two of them whether it says no forum or no clear forum for parallel construction, and want to give a choice? Yes, Alan, please.
I'd leave clear in, because then it becomes more subjective and someone can't say, oh, yes, but there is that place.
Very good. Thank you. There had to be a reason that clear made it into one of them. I will put the changes for anybody that's following. I will put them in as suggest for the moment, just so we can visibly see what's changing, and I'll accept the changes after the meeting. Okay, now this one I actually, okay, you got to it slightly before. Are there any other issues? This one I actually did want to step through one at a time, not reading them, but just to stop on each one. George got there before me. So any other issues on the description in one at this point? Okay. Two. Anybody have an issue with two? Okay. And if I move too fast, please make me go back. On three. Okay, noticing. Let me just check. Okay, I just had a light blinking at me, but it was not relevant to this. On, oh yes, please, Klaus.
Sorry, I'm a little bit slow. Reading three, there are concerns that the overall culture in the ICANN staff, there are concerns. Sometimes you can read it as something very strong or something, on the other hand, very weak. Shouldn't it be a little bit stronger and say it has been observed that the overall culture of ICANN staff or something like that in that direction? I fear that that point, which for me is one of the key observations, can be too easily brushed aside. Thank you. Sorry, and I should have said Klaus Stronfold.
Okay, thank you, Klaus. Yes, Alan.
Thank you, Alan Greenberg. Do we need the phrase in policy development? It's not clear
okay,
to me that we should only focus on that aspect. There are certainly indications at times that the focus is not on supporting the community in other areas.
Okay. Okay, I'm adding notes to this with some of the pauses in policy development. Okay. So we have two suggested changes here. One is substituting there are concerns with something like it has been observed or something stronger. There is a recommendation that in policy development be removed and supporting communities work should just be in general. Does anybody object to making either of those changes? Please speak up. Yes, Klaus.
I just would like to keep the policy development and just add and other areas or something like that to point out that there are additional areas of communication between staff and community.
Okay. What do others think about that other change? Okay. I've noted those. I'm not going to try and wordsmith it on the fly, but indicate that it looks like there's no objection to those changes, and I'll get them done before the next reading, and we'll rely on the record here in the captioning to record that and to remind me should I forget. Okay, got that. Four, any issues on four? Okay, five, any issues on five? Okay, yes, George.
Avery, this isn't on five specifically, but there was a discussion a few meetings ago about defining terms like ICANN. What does ICANN mean by itself, as opposed to ICANN org, community, ICANN board, etc. And throughout this, there are some cases where ICANN is mentioned, and it's not quite clear exactly what is meant. And it might be worth just doing a pass through the document at some point, looking for evidences of ambiguity when the word ICANN is mentioned without a qualification, just to see if one is needed. Thanks.
Okay. Usually, thank you. Thank you for this, George. I will make the note. I will do the check. I did a check for how organization was spelled, so I should do a check for this. I do believe that when it's used alone, the indication is that it is the Trinity but I will go through, and I'll also put a footnote in at the beginning to indicate that when used alone, it means that. But thank you for the note. Check that for consistency.
I wouldn't even make it a footnote. I would say up front, define your term so that it's quite clear what you're talking about. That's all that's needed.
Okay, well, whether it's in a footnote, I guess if I'm defining terms, then you're asking for a table that defines many terms. Is that what you're asking for?
No, I think.
Or is this just first use of term?
I think, yeah, I don't know how you do it, but you don't need to define every term, but somehow there's more confusion about that, what is meant by ICANN in various contexts, than most words, and it's probably worth
making. I thought we were deciding, yeah. Okay, thanks. I thought we were actually making a decision on that at a global WS2 level, that had been one of the reasons that we had taken it. I don't know if we ever actually resolved on it, that there was ICANN, and ICANN was a trinity of ICANN organization, ICANN board, and ICANN community. And ICANN organization was sometimes called staff. I'll certainly put it in here, certainly as a footnote, perhaps more. But in terms of bringing it out further, and I guess this is a question to Bernie, whose hand is up. I should have looked at the screen sooner. Bernie, please.
Hi, Avery. I hope everyone can hear me.
I hear you, Bernie.
Thank you. I believe when we were in Copenhagen at the CCWG Accountability Face-to-Face meeting, the CCWG as a plenary agreed with your definition that if ICANN is mentioned, it's simply without any qualification that it's the Trinity. Thank you.
Okay, thanks. So for the purposes, if it's okay, George and others, for the purposes of this doc, I'll put a footnote reminding people of the WS2. I'll assume that when we gang all these together in a document, et cetera, then it'll be in only one place. Perhaps I need to help edit it at some point from the what had been a recommendation then, but try to keep it in just one place. But that was one of the reasons for asking for consistency so that we could move ahead fairly comfortably with these terms. And put it in. Just let me jot this down so I do not forget. Although I do have the record here, but anyhow. Okay. Okay, we did 4, correct? So this is... Oh, no, we did 5. 6. I wanted to ask, and this is not a substantive question, have left 6 as it is, because 6 used to...
What is in 1B used to be 6. But it didn't make sense to me when I was putting this together that it was that...
But I left the point in for 6 because we had gotten into being used to it being there, and I didn't want to change the numbers of everything if anybody had gotten used to referring to an issue by number. Should I collapse it before the next reading? And assume that I can make the changes consistently. Yes, Alan.
Question is, are there references to numbers 7, 8, and 9 in other places in the document?
Yes, there are, but only in the section that was just produced on the explanation. When we get to the table, you'll see I map issue to a requirement to the issues I believe it covers. And there I use those numbers.
But it's only a few instances, and I can fix it if I collapse it.
I would suggest that it be fixed at this point, not later, to make sure we can catch any errors if there are any.
Okay. So basically I will note that I should remove it before the next reading, and you all can make sure I don't mess up the numbers. Okay, so fix... Before second reading. Okay. I've put that note in. Okay. So then I go on to, and of course, if anybody objects to anything, please do speak up. 7. Yes, Klaus.
Klaus Stoll for the record. It's the same as with 3. It's the word, the use of the word concern in paragraph 7 and 8. I think it might be possible to strengthen it a little bit, but I defer to the group. It's just an observation from me.
Okay. Well, certainly, I'll comment on that. Certainly, the concern that was mentioned in 7 was not nearly as pervasive as some of the cultural concerns, which was a very general statement in 3. So, I'm you know, not sure. I understand the desire for parallel. Anybody else have a viewpoint on that one? I will certainly comment it. Does anybody else have a comment on the usage of concern there as opposed to something less ambiguous, although I actually didn't think it was that ambiguous. But anyone? Yes, Alan, please.
Yeah, Alan Greenberg. I'm not troubled with the word there. If you look at number 3, one can find clear instances where, you know, I can say there is a problem. In number 4, in number 7, it really is a concern because there's so much opacity. We don't know.
Okay, thank you.
You know, I can't give a specific instance, although I suspect some of them, where people's at-risk compensation is based on measures that I don't think it should be, because, you know, I just don't think it's something that staff should be have a personal interest in focusing on, but I don't know that. So I think concern is fine in that case.
Okay, thank you. So we have one for replacing and one for I know my personal tendency is to leave. Also, I do indicate that there is a difference between there was concern to there are concerns. For some reason, one is multiple, whereas but anyway. Okay, I'll leave that open. People, please think about it. If you want to suggest a different usage in the document, I'll look at some. Yes, Alan.
Yeah, thank you, Alan Greenberg. I hadn't noticed the word was. I would make them all there are or something positive.
Okay.
That implies it was a concern, but it's gone bye-bye, and I don't believe that's the case.
Okay. So I definitely have a grammar change in this one. I am removing there are concerns from the other one, so it's not a consistency. But, yeah, there are. That one I'll change right now because even if I leave it, it's a change that would stay. But, of course, okay. It really is phraseology and only slightly related to a possible substantive point, but I will look into that. If anybody has any further ideas on that, any suggestions, would love to hear them now or later. Okay, so that was 7. 8, any issues to do with 8? Okay. 9. Any issues to do with 9? Okay. Then let's move on. So these have remained substantively acceptable at this reading with edits, but none of the edits change the meaning anything, though they may change a degree of nuance and the degree to which we're making a statement. Okay, going to recommendations. This section has been here for a while, but it did take a reordering and some substantive wordsmithing over the last week. And these were, and there were edits made based on the discussions from last week's meeting. So I want to go through those again line by line and see if there are any comments on those. So the recommendations. And the first one, any issues with that and how it's stated? Okay. Bernie, I'm sorry. I didn't see your hand. Please go ahead. You shouldn't have to tell me twice.
Thank you. I see Alan has his hand up, so I'll be glad to defer to him if he wants to go first.
Thank you.
Hey,
it's Alan Greenberg. I was just going to point out that the last part of the sentence saying between board and staff in the ICANN organization, when we've already defined that the organization does not include the staff, the board, we need a terminology change there.
In ICANN and just remove. This is part of the consistency check that George asked for. Okay, Bernie, to you.
Thank you, Aubrey. Just a general comment. I'm sorry, I've been out of this section for a little bit. I was reading the recommendations and bringing in some comments actually from the work I'm doing on Stability and Security Review 2, which is going over the Stability and Security Review 1 recommendations. And I'll link this very quickly. 2 points. One point is that everyone is having serious heartburn with the SSR1 recommendations, and I do mean everyone, because some of them were too generic. And so although I think it applies to very few things here, when I was reading recommendation 6, I believe, it seemed a little fluffy. And the problem is with those generic, really overarching statements, if you're not giving any direction to ICANN, it becomes really a bit of a gamble as to what they're going to be able to do with it. Not that there's ill will anywhere, but, you know, this group will dissolve, the recommendations will be there, and then this will land on someone's desk, and they'll be stuck with implementing it. So just a note, if you can, it's always better to be clear on what your expectations or requirements are when you're making a recommendation. Makes it a hell of a lot easier for everyone implementing, and it makes it a hell of a lot easier a few years down the line when someone comes up and says, oh, how did we do with this? So, first thing.
The second thing is,
again, regarding implementation, and we've seen this in other areas, if you're going to be very, very specific on what you are requiring, and here I'm talking about creating this committee, be sure that's what you want to do, because maybe just softening the recommendation just a bit, as in it could be or should be or something like that, just gives everyone a little bit of wiggle room if something happens when they're trying to implement this in the full framework of what Workstream 2 will be recommending. So really, really hard implementation recommendations, be sure that's what you want to do. Be sure that if you're making them, you've made the case for what your requirements are very well so that they back up making a very hard recommendation. Or consider just giving everyone a little wiggle room. I don't think it's a question, again, of ICANN not trying to do their best. I think it's a question that when these things come to them, they do not come in vacuo just in the staff accountability thing. The board is going to be expecting that if these things get approved, they get done because that's their job, and they're going to ask the CEO to do that, and he's going to hand that off. And then all of a sudden, a few people have to make sure that all this gets done, and if they have some areas where there's absolutely no give, it's just absolutely squared out, it can make life hard for everyone, and it may end up having unintended consequences. Sorry for taking so long, but I thought these were useful comments for your consideration at this point.
Thank you. So in some cases, we need to be less ambiguous, and in some cases, we need to be more ambiguous, is what I understood. And it's basically almost an appeal to the golden mean. And what I wanted to point out is a couple things in terms of the history. First of all, there is a next section of the discussions, which I think tries to get into some of the issues that you speak of, and that's still part of this main document. And then there's what we're making sure is bundled and available is the work that was done on this that gives further indications. We also did, this is also one of the reasons, wanted to make sure that even once all of these things is individually reviewed and set aside as potentially done, there would indeed be a review of everything together to make sure that one place didn't go ahead of another place or contradict the work of another subgroup. If there are specifics, so I get, for example, on three, the four member panel, if we look again at the discussion session, and we'll get there on this reading, you'll see a further sort of implementation guideline almost, to this, which does add specificity, and I think in other places the discussion adds a little bit of the ambiguity you might be looking for. So I'd ask you to look at these before another reading. If you have any word substitutions or sentence changes that would either make it less ambiguous as you're requesting, or more ambiguous as you may think is required, the wiggle room, as it were, please do suggest wording changes. But I also want to see whether the way that the discussion goes into things helps at all with the concern that you bring up. So which one were we on? Because that wasn't specific to one. Yes, Bernie, I see your hand again.
Thank you. I'll go through it, and I'll actually write back on certain things. As I said, my main concern, which brought this up, were 3 and 6, but I'll provide something in writing. Thank you.
Okay. Yeah. On 6, there was actually, you'll see. Please look at also the discussion, and we'll get to that. That talks about how this cultural issue can be approached. We had a very strong pull on things that got called the cultural issue, and so did not want to remove that as the reference, and therefore tried to be more explanatory in the discussion. But we'll take a note on both of those and look forward to seeing your suggested changes before the second reading. Now, where was I on walking through? Okay, I was still on the first. Okay, so number two, any comments on number two in the recommendations? Okay, number three, and we've already gotten a comment from Bernie that if we want to create something like this, we better be sure we want it, and we better be sure that we're not being too specific. Yes, Alan?
Question, is there really an ICANN organizational chart that's published? I'm aware of the one that shows the executive-level people. I'm not aware of anything that shows anything below that.
I saw one at least once. I don't remember. It was a couple years ago, but there was one. There's got to be one somewhere, even if it's not published.
I
got to know how the organization is structured.
I'd like to think so, but, you know, I regularly find people on these calls, some staff person on the call, and I'll do a Google search, and they're not even in the staff directory sometimes. Never mind an indication of what department they work for or who their manager is. So I don't think there is an organizational chart. So if we are in fact asking for an organizational chart that includes all 300 or whatever people, then I think we need to explicitly say that. At one point I was told, sorry, we won't publish that because it puts people at risk knowing who they are or what they work for or something like that. I won't say who told me because I don't know whether that's an authoritative answer or not. But, you know, I was told it was deliberate that there was not an organizational chart below the executive level.
If we change the word the to an, would that do that?
No, I think if we are asking for a detailed organizational chart, then we need to say so. If we're asking for just the executive one, that we need to say so, because clearly, you know, I have been told at various times, yes, there is one, and pointed to the one that only shows the executive level.
So, okay, so you're saying we should say a detailed.
Or we should just be specific so that there's no confusion over what it is we're asking for. I think it's a discussion we really should have that is there no organizational chart because people think it's too much of a pain to keep up to date, or is there no organizational chart because it's a deliberate decision that it should not be published? And if so, I think we need to understand that before we can finalize this recommendation.
Okay, so at the moment I have suggest edited it to publish a detailed ICANN organizational chart of all employees with clear reporting lines. That sort of phrase would help?
That would certainly address an issue I have, whether it's what we want to ask. I think we need to understand the issue better.
I think it is what was being asked for, but I'll go to Herb. Please, Herb.
Yes, good morning, Avery. Herb Way, for the record. There is an internal list of employees that's in the form of a type of org chart, but it's strictly for employee use so that employees can reach out and contact each other and have a clear understanding of the reporting through HR and stuff like that. You're probably not going to get, and I can't see any real reason for having a detailed organizational chart with all of the employees listed on it, for the same reason that just about any corporation or company I can think of doesn't publish it for privacy reasons, and also to prevent skipping down through the level of hierarchy. If somebody has a complaint with a department, the complaint now should go to the complaints officer, but you wouldn't want the complainant going directly to for instance, a low-level employee with an issue, for instance, because they've already been refused by the manager or something like that. So I don't know if that's going to happen for everybody's list. So it just kind of rings a little bit of a red bell for me.
Okay.
And are we into number three yet?
Nope, we are still talking about number two, the employee, and we're running out of time, but yes, we are still talking about number two.
So there is one published,
two.
But it's not published publicly.
I think in the comments we've received so far, there was a desire for a full one so that certainly any of the employees that are customer facing, one can know who they work for, who their bosses are, and such, and this isn't a for-profit company, so there may be a slightly different set of concerns. Alan, please.
Yeah, you just said what I was going to say. Maybe there's a reason for not publishing a full org chart with, you know, 700 people on it. or 300, I don't even know what the right number is when you include people who are contract labor. But there is a need to find out who someone's manager is, or simply when I get an email from someone asking me something, what department do they work for? You know, or I get a message from staff saying, you know, send an email to Tina. Which Tina?
Yeah.
Even if I know the department, I have no chance of figuring out who it is. Anyway, that's it. Thank you.
Thank you. So I'm suggesting that, at least for the time being, we strengthen this as suggested and you know, bring it to the second reading and see what issues there are with it. And it's quite possible that not all of our recommendations, I've never worked on anything yet in ICANN where all the recommendations were actually implemented the way the people writing the implementations thought they should be. So moving on with that to three. That one, and as I say, there's a long discussion of the hows and whats of this, but Herb, you had a comment to make on it.
Yes, thank you, every Herb way. I like it, and when it does go further than this, I don't know if this has been brought or is being discussed at the higher level in the accountability group, but I could see it being becoming a very robust tool for the especially for the community, because as much as here we're talking about staff accountability, I see a much broader potential for this group. In as much as the organization does not have teeth when it comes to behavioral issues or you know, there's nothing anybody can do really to sanction or discipline or prevent behavior, especially at the community level. As much as it's been tried to hand that off to my office, you know, even if I come to a decision or a sanction, the individual has recourse to reconsideration and the whole bit, and it blows confidentiality out of the water. So I like this panel. And I hope that it gets discussed much more robustly as this moves forward. And the change I would possibly make would be that in the last line, where community staff or board, issues raised by the community staff or board, I would add the ombudsman into that line also, because if the ombudsman comes to a brick wall, that it would be nice to be able to bring this to this panel, if this panel does have authority, and also potentially add in a confidentiality issue to this, so that these discussions can be done in a secure, safe environment for the four participants and anybody that brings a complaint to them.
Okay, thank you. What I'd like to ask you to do is look in terms of the discussion part that's in the next section, to take an edit pass through that at some point during the next week to see whether that discussion can be made more robust in that location. Now, on the confidentiality, I don't know whether that's something that would need greater discussion, because some of the functions within that are, you know, for example, complaints officer and the EC representative and such are in more transparency demanding roles, that we might want to suggest in the discussion that they be able to turn on and off a cloak of confidentiality as required, and such. So if they're discussing an issue that needs to be transparent because it's a personal, you know, because of personal issues, that they can, but if it's a more complex issue that perhaps has a systemic basis, that, you know, they don't need to deem that as confidential. So if perhaps that would be something that belongs in the implementation discussion of this as opposed to the specific request. I know personally I'd be uneasy asking for it to function in full confidential mode, but certainly I accept that it needs to be able to go into confidential mode if that distinction is acceptable. Any other comments on 3? And I'll just make a note on confidentiality. Let me see. Comment. Last time at the discussion, we got, we would like to see more detail on how this works. And I tried in the discussion to find a balance there. Yes, Alan?
Yeah, I think this is one of those cases where you use as appropriate.
Oh, okay. And thank you. That as appropriate is probably exactly the right solution. Thank you. As I say, I'm not... When I can easily think of the wordsmith, I'm doing it. Otherwise, I'm just putting it in a comment. Okay, any others on 3? Move on to 4. Any comments on 4? On 5. Any comments on 5? No? Okay. On 6. Okay. Yes, Alan, please.
Yeah, it's Alan speaking. On 5, do we really mean instigate? Or perhaps institute?
Instigate seems to be a fine word, but... if it rubs the wrong way, institute is fine. Institute. Okay. Any other comments on 5? Okay, 6. Any comments on 6? Okay, thank you. 7. 7 is one that was discussed at length last week in terms of the need for it, and it is a new entry into the list. Yes, George.
Thanks, Aubrey. This one worries me, and maybe it should, maybe it shouldn't, for several reasons. First of all, note that there's an overlap. It's not a complete overlap between 7 and 1. You're asking for descriptions in both cases, and I'm wondering to the extent to which the separation is justified. The second reason is more one of how this is going to work in the community. At some point in this document, you make the point, I think quite rightly so, that ability of ICANN to function depends both on formal relationships and informal cooperation. And I think when you publish service-level agreements, but what you're doing, I think, is dividing the community in some sense between somebody who gets service and somebody who gives service. That's fine. That's what's going to happen. But this is a very litigious organization. People argue about things, legal things, procedural things. And I think if you get into this, and I think I'm reflecting some of what Bernie said earlier in the call, if you get into this and you have a detailed service level agreement, then you're going to have people more concerned, I think, about squabbling whether the staff met the service agreement or not, as opposed to going to the informal side of things and resolving the situation. By the way, I'm speaking as a committee member here, not as a board member. I just worry that this is going to detract the organization from functioning more effectively, and that some combination of 1 and 7 might be a better approach than extracting specifically service-level agreements, which are necessarily somewhat detailed, otherwise there's no point in having one. And what happens also if the service level agreement isn't met? Where are the punitive measures? It makes it more formal and confrontational. Thank you.
Okay, thank you. Yes, on this one, part of the discussion we had last week, and this is reflected in the discussion of this one, is that, hey, staff has all of these contracted timings for which we need to do things. They're, you know, whether they're contractually based or not, that says, you know, we need to react within 20 days here. We need to, if we miss this schedule, we're out of luck. We need to do this. We need to do that. And yet, correspondingly, when there's something that the staff needs to do, there are absolutely no time limits. There are no specific rules that shape that response. So while I only have 10 days into which to make a complaint, not a complaint, complaints becoming a word of art within ICANN, but I have 15 days within which to bring up an issue or I've missed my chance. Whereas when I make a request of staff, they can take 4 months to answer it if they wish. And that there have been occasions of that, and that is one of the issues that some of the members of the group brought up quite strongly. So at this point, sort of from a working with the whole group, I would be very loath to remove the specificity of 7, but perhaps would want to discuss it further in the discussion and ask you, George, to look at that discussion there and perhaps, you know, over the course of the week, we can look at, adding, as Bernie might say, wiggle words to it. But I think that, at least from some parts of this group over time, that this has been a strong trend. Yes, Alan.
Thank you. It's Alan Greenberg speaking. I think this is one where it is both too narrow and too wide. I don't think we necessarily need service contract levels for everything that is deemed to be a service. On the other hand, I don't think it should be restricted to services provided to contracted parties. The classic example in ICANN is the major area that volunteers have contact with ICANN, where there are specific expectations, are travel services. It has been a pain and a focus of complaints forever, and it's one where they have absolutely no service level commitment and no even indication that red flags are waved internally when there are problems. And so that's one which I would suggest would warrant a service level agreement, at least until we get to the point where people aren't continually complaining. But having service level agreements for everything, I think just will change the dynamic, as George was saying. So
thank you. And we may want to change the name of it from service level agreement to something. So I'll take those comments. I request that people discuss this further on the list or in the document and perhaps suggest wording changes that will make this work. Any other comments on 7? We only have 4 minutes left. I'd like to at least get through the end of the recommendations. I don't know if we're allowed or people can go a few minutes extra, but I don't want to spend time on talking about that yet. 8. Any comments on 8? Okay. 9. Any comments on 9? Okay. Thanks. So in a reading through of the recommendations, we've got largely a group okay, but with various issues and a strong issue of basically both specificity and wiggle room. And we have questions on 7, both as to its scope and such, and those need to be fixed before a second reading, and please, people, participate. Now, we have 3 minutes left, and I'm not going to go through it line by line, but this is sort of the last part, which is taking the recommendations, mapping them to related issues. I sent out a couple messages to the list asking people to go through these and decide whether I have too many of the related issues beside a recommendation or not enough, and also the discussion has been taken from various conversations that we've had and such. So I'd like to open up this discussion of recommendations to a brief comment. Okay, Yul says he has to leave, and Bernie says we're okay to stay on a bit longer. So I'd like to just get through this discussion of recommendations. So not go through this line by line. I do ask people to read it through and make suggestions. I think this can be improved infinitely, but I'd like to see how much we can get it improved in the next week. It doesn't add new recommendations. It doesn't add new issues. It just tries to explain things and give some implementation guidelines. Any comments on it as it currently stands, understanding that people will take a deeper dive into it over the next week before the second reading? I see no comments on it, Elaine. I know there's a lot to read for people that haven't read it coming into the meeting, and, you know, you haven't had much time, but I'd still like to say that we have given it a look and that we have completed a first reading, partly because of the drive of schedule. Okay, I see no comments on it now. I'm expecting that people will take a deeper dive on it in the next week. Is there any objection to indicating that with comments, with work to do, we did have a successful first reading in this meeting? Does anybody wish to object to that characterization of what we've just been through? No? Okay. Klaus, you asked... Klaus? Yes, okay. I wanted to get to a Klaus question. Can we start with the list next week? We certainly can, but are you saying that therefore you don't consider us as having done a first reading? Next week we should be doing a second reading. No problem to start with there, or perhaps just start with recommendations and this, because those are the two where there have been comments or not enough. But Klaus, are you objecting to calling this a first reading? It should be done at second meeting. Okay. Thank you, Klaus. Yes, Alan, please.
Thank you, Alan Greenberg. I have no objection to calling this a first reading, but if there are enough substantive changes between now and next week or during next week's meeting, we may need a third reading. But
yeah.
Okay. With that understanding, sure.
Right. Okay. So this is a fine first reading, and we'll decide after, during and after the second reading whether a further reading is required, as opposed to making that decision now. Okay. Hopefully, though, people will spend some time inside and such, and we can decide at the second reading whether the changes were indeed substantive or explanatory and refining. Any other comments on, yes, Alan, there's always relatively few people on this call. And that's why, you know, once we get it out of this group, we will be taking it to the full meeting where I'm sure we will have a very fulsome discussion and it may or may not get sent back to us. I would like to avoid that, but I expect it. That always happens after a full first reading, almost in the full, is once we discuss it, things do change. And really just looking for a, fortunately, Herb, I see there was one participant yesterday, and so fortunately I at least had sent in my apology for that one, I think. So, okay, I won't drag this meeting on longer. Just to go through the rest of the agenda, as I said, the agenda did not have much else in it. It basically talks about the action items will change. I will be produce report for second reading. I will leave the action items for everybody else as are, which is review, make comments, edit, and suggest text. I think our schedule update does not need to be updated again yet. Hopefully I can avoid updating it again. And our next meeting is 13 June, at which point we're scheduled to have a second meeting. We have a 20 June meeting at which I have penciled in. It doesn't show up on this one. I did it after that. That is complete reply to staff questions, is penciled in. But if we need to do a third reading, that would be when we did it, but then we would probably be too late to get on the, to be in the full meeting, the face-to-face meeting for a first reading, which I would prefer to avoid. What we're trying to do is hit the schedule so that we can do a first reading in the face-to-face meeting. Yes, Bernie?
Yes, well, we're counting on you having a document available for the face-to-face. So if we need to stretch the rule a bit, I can certainly plead the case to the co-chairs. And if it gets done on the 20th, it still gives people a fair amount of time to read it on the plane, on the way over, et cetera. So if you want me
Thank
to
you.
Do that, I'll be glad to take care of that.
Thank you. I hope I don't need to. I hope we don't need to ask you to do that. But if we do, we will. Thank you very much for the possibility. Okay. So, any other business? Okay. Thank you. I want to thank you for letting me sort of drive through that and. Thank you all for doing a first reading, giving lots of comments, and hope between now and the 13th you do take an hour or so in the document and deal with any of the issues you may still have. With that, seeing no other business, the call. Thank you for the captioner to say, and Brenda and Bernie for staying the extra 5 minutes, and to all of you for staying the extra 5 minutes. The call is adjourned.
Thank you, Avery.